Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Looking around, I finally see, I think I need a change. The rat race, I want to flee, my world I'll rearrange. I'm getting back to the roots of how it's meant to be. Growing gardens, picking fruit, racing livestock, living free. It's a modern homestead. Build a modern homestead.
Hello and welcome to the Modern Homesteading Podcast. We are your hosts, Harold Thornbro and
Rachel Jameson.
We're glad you're joining us today. Today we're going to talk about habits, goals, time management, building skills. You know, it's a few days before New Year's when this is going to be released, and it just seems like the kind of topic that fits well that time of the year. And to be honest, I feel like it's an important thing to focus on once a year, at least. You know, I try to focus on it more than once a year, but you know, New Year's is a good time to reset. Why not? I mean, it the whole world is resetting at that time. Everybody's thinking about it. So I don't think it's any different just because we're homesteaders. I think we can use that as a time to kind of reset our thinking on a few of these things. And I feel like it's important when it comes to homesteading. I think it's important in our lives in general, but I think it has total application to homesteading. How do you feel about that, Rachel?
Totally. I mean, I think we all spend time evaluating what we're doing. It doesn't matter if it's at New Year's or if it's at fall when your garden is closed down and you're thinking about next year. I think it's always a good time to reevaluate things, set goals, make habits,
for sure,
do things.
Yeah. I think a lot of the world focuses on breaking bad habits, but I feel like I focus more on setting good habits, you know, than I do trying to break a bad one or something. I mean, I honestly, I don't feel like I have a ton of bad habits other than maybe a few too many hours watching TV or something. But other than that, you know, I don't really have any really bad vices. I'm not a drinker or a smoker or anything like that. So, you know, but a lot of people do focus on that. This is the time of the year they really focus on that. But we're going to take the more positive side, I think, and talk more about developing good habits and setting good goals and trying to use our time properly and building skills, you know, setting that as some of our goals for the new year. But before we jump into all that, what's going on in the homestead?
Oh, well, we've been battling some crud. So lots of sleep the last few weeks, but I did harvest. Was it yesterday or the day before? I think it was Saturday. I harvested my first harvest of leaf lettuce. Mm-hmm. So I've been harvesting some microgreens and my leaf lettuce finally got big enough to harvest. So I harvested some leaf lettuce for a chicken salad. That was yummy. And today I'm going to be working on canning broth and carrots.
More canning.
More canning. That's my life. But my refrigerator, my downstairs, we have an extra refrigerator, and my extra refrigerator has been stuffed full of carrots since my carrot harvest.
Yes.
I finally have time to can them. And as much as I'd like to keep them fresh, I have not figured out a way to keep them fresh in my climate. A lot of people will keep them in the ground. But I maybe could for a little bit, but our ground freezes pretty deep here.
Yeah. Yeah, you almost need a good root cellar. And like I seen one guy one time took a bunch of those and put them in sand and then put them in a cold basement or something like that, or like a non-heated basement or something like that. And I don't know, though. I've never tried to keep them fresh tasting like that. But yeah, I remember that big old harvest of carrots you brought in. That was quite the bundle.
Yeah, my basement, unfortunately, isn't cold. It's where our wood stove is.
Right, yeah.
So it's actually pretty warm.
Yeah. Well, the sickness has been going around our place too. I haven't caught it. I wouldn't say I felt 100%, but I haven't felt too bad. But grandkids, I actually watched my granddaughter last week for my daughter because she couldn't go to her preschool while she went to work. So I let her stay with me all week while I was at home. And so I didn't get much as much done as I normally get done. But, you know, I did, I think for several weeks there, I kept saying, oh, yeah, I still haven't started my microgreens. I still haven't started those. But about a week and a half ago, I actually did start those. I didn't mention it on the last episode, but I did start them. And I grew them, and I've already harvested some of them and ate them, and they were great. Yeah. And now I just got to keep them going all winter.
Yeah, that's I need to start more leaf lettuce because I did it in a 10-20 tray. So I harvested like a third of them, and I should have started some right away. But like I said, we've had the crud. So
yeah,
probably
yeah.
That's on the list today to start another tray.
Did harvest a little bit more lettuce from the greenhouse that's growing in pots. But something I've been harvesting quite a bit of, because it's the thing that's growing the absolute best in my aquaponic system, is cress. And I'm going to admit, I don't know that I've ever ate cress before. I had the seeds, and I don't know that I'd ever planted them before.
What does it taste like?
It's got a little bit of a spice to it, but it grows so good in the aquaponic system. Totally consumed one of the beds in there, and it is just doing great. I mean, it is a water, kind of a water loving plant anyway, a moisture loving plant, and it is just blowing up some stuff. I think I've got too much water, the water rising up a little bit too high, and it looks like it's actually struggling a little bit. Like some of the stuff maybe I need to lower the water levels a little bit in a couple of those beds, but I don't think the cress would care. I think you could probably put it in pure water and it might take off. I don't know. And it's good. I started eating it, put it in my salads and stuff, and it's really good. I like it a lot.
I was gonna ask how you're using it in salads.
Yeah, I've been putting it a little bit in some salads and stuff and putting it on some sandwiches. And kind of like I use microgreens in a way. I've been kind of eating it like that, but I really like it. And honestly, I'm thinking, have I ever ate it before? I just don't know that I have been before this year.
So do you have it like on, I'm trying to picture how you're growing it in your aquaponics system. So is it like on the top of like your fish tank?
No, I have ebb and flow beds that are above, like I have the aquaponics in the bottom, in the ground, actually. It's down, I dug a hole, put a liner, or pond liner in there. The pump pumps it up into, I have three beds on a shelf above the water, of course. And it pumps it up, and then it basically pumps and comes up to a certain level, then drains, and it only fills that up. It comes up just below the top of the grow medium, and it actually does that every 2 hours. It runs for, okay, I think only 4 minutes every 2 hours. I can't remember what I have it set on. I think that's what it is. So it's not a lot, but it holds, it stays wet pretty good for quite a while. I mean, as far as the medium in there, it stays pretty moist for a while till it dries out, and then it hits it again, you know, every couple hours. So what I need to do, though, is I have like a standing pipe in there that basically sets the water level. And I cut that down once so the water wouldn't come up so high. And I think I need to cut, especially two of the beds, I think maybe they're a little uneven. I think they need to be down a little bit lower. So I think I've got too much, the water coming up too high. Too long, not so much too long, but too high in there. And it's getting to the top, and it's, you know, it's kind of oversaturating the soil. And then I use soil. I either use the little cups, the net cups, and I put, you've seen those, pucks, like the soil pucks that like, oh, when you get them wet, they swell. Uh-huh. And I just shove one of those down in those net cups, and I put a seed or two in there, or I use, rock wool. I'll use rock wool in some places. I have both I'm using up there because I have a bunch of both. So I've been using that. Now, I did actually sprinkle some seeds in there just seeing if some would take off, because I've done that on my outdoor aquaponics setup on my IBC tank, and it actually worked. I just sprinkled stuff in there and it worked good. And then I actually took a bunch of my elderberry cuttings and shoved in those beds to let them root, and they blew up. Like they got roots that are like 5 inches long already coming off the sides of the stems, and they're already budding and everything in there. So they're taking off, which I almost didn't want them to take off that quick. I didn't think they would, but they did. So now they're going to have to let them grow in there or plant them in a pot or something, because they can't just stay in the aquaponics system. But right. That's going to be a really good setup for rooting things. Yeah. I sent you some. Did you put them in a pot?
I did.
Okay, good.
They're outside freezing.
Yeah,
freezing,
they're dormant, so they should be fine. Yeah, they should just take off come spring, I would think.
I hope so.
They get them in the ground as soon as the ground thaws.
Basically, with the crust, they basically kind of like the side of a riverbed is kind of.
Yeah, I think watercress. I think there's some different kinds of cress. Like there's watercress. This is a garden. I think they called it garden cress, I think. So I think it's a little different. But it still likes moisture. Yeah. I don't know that it would like being in water necessarily completely, but it definitely is growing really well in the aquaponics. Like it's.
That's cool.
Yeah. Like I accidentally put, well, I didn't accidentally, I did it on purpose, but I didn't think it would take off like it did. I put mint in a aquaponics bed one time and it completely took it over. That's kind of what cress is doing. I mean, but I don't think it's going to have the negative effects that mint has, but yeah, it's doing great and it's delicious. I love it. So I don't mind. Yes. It can take over that bed if it wants. That's totally fine. So yeah, it's doing really well. So I'm eating a lot of that from the aquaponics system. So that's kind of my week in a nutshell. Not a lot going on, but a little bit.
Yeah,
of,
mine's been pretty slow too. And I've been really busy at work because Christmas. So
This comes out. This episode comes out after Christmas, but we're actually recording it the week of Christmas. So there's a lot going on. So yeah. Well, that brings us to our topic, habits, goals, time management, building skills, all these things. And it sounds like a big topic. It kind of is a big topic. Yeah. I feel like it's an important thing. I've always done it my entire life, basically, in my entire adult life. It's always been something I've put a lot of focus on, developing some habits, even breaking habits. You know, if I had some bad habits at the time, I tried to knock those out. But I've read a lot of books on habit building. And one of them there's really two that I want to talk about today, but one that's been around for many, many years. And I would say a lot of people in this audience have probably read it. I think a lot of schools probably cover it. You know, I know in college, you'll probably definitely use it at some point or another. And it's called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And it's a great book. It's a great book. I've read it. I would say I've read it a dozen times over the years.
Oh, wow.
I routinely go back to it and it's just a really, really good book. And he lays out 7 habits in there that, you know, they've done the research and these are habits that highly successful people develop in their lives on average. These are ones that seem to be things that people develop. And, you know, I don't think you have to be a necessarily a business person or anything, because it is kind of built around that, you know, successful business people, you know, kind of things. But I think just for the common everyday person, these habits make sense. Sure. And they're things you can develop in your life. But I think they're habits that every single person can use in your career, in your just daily lives, your family life, everything. I mean, it has application for all kinds of things. So I thought what we might do is first maybe just kind of go over those habits, just briefly what they are in the book, kind of just briefly. And then we can just kind of talk about a few of the things like setting goals, time management, skill building, because I think a lot of those things actually apply in these habits, some of the applications for those are laid out in these habits a little bit. So we'll talk about those in more detail. But the first book, though, I was going to mention was actually called Atomic Habits. And that's one I just read in the last probably year, I think. I don't even think it's that old of a book, maybe a couple years old. And that one's by, let me scroll down to my bottom of my notes here. James Clear is the guy's name. Atomic Habits, an easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones. And there's a lot, it has a really scientific approach too for building habits. And they've just done a lot of experimenting and things and what it takes to build a habit. And they actually laid out that to form a new habit, it actually takes 66 days. Now, I used to hear that was a lot less than that. I used to hear like 30 days back in the day. But they actually done the research and say, you know, you want to routinely do something for 66 days to really establish it as a habit or as a broken habit in your life. So that's quite a bit longer than what you used to be told.
I would agree with that. 30 days personally for me is not enough. I need longer time than that to develop a habit.
Yeah. So a couple months of doing something routinely to make it a habit. And I find that to be true on some things. I'm a person of routine, and I find that if I don't have things in a certain order when I'm doing a certain thing, it throws me completely off. And if I want to change that routine, I have to, and now it doesn't take 66 days for me to change a routine. It usually only takes, well, I'll say this. If it's a routine that I'm doing several times a day, like I will set a routine, like it may take 66 times doing right. that routine before I change the routine. Like it sounds so weird, but like put gloves in a certain place. Like I'll walk into a thing and I have a set of gloves right there that I use for that thing. But I decided, hey, I don't want my gloves there. I want them over here because I want, this is better. That sounds like such a little thing, but these are the kind of things I think about when I'm setting up a routine, like putting a thing in a certain place. I have to make sure I put it there time and time and time and consciously think about it. And it probably is like 66 times before I will just start automatically going there, grabbing that thing, doing it, putting it back in that place. And that's how it is for me. I do things in routine like that.
Yeah. And I'm the same way. And yeah. I know it seems stupid, but for me, it was keys. For years, I would lose my keys.
Yeah.
Years, I would lose my keys. And it was super frustrating to me. Very frustrating to my husband. And it seems like such a small, trivial thing, but I would spend so much time looking for them, and then it would kind of ruin your day.
Yep.
And now it took me a while to develop this habit, but when I come in the door, I have a bowl that I put my keys in every time, time I come in the door.
And if you think that doesn't have an effect on your time management, you think about all the time you're looking for a certain thing. Say you have several routines in your life set up. You know, we could talk about this more when we get to the actual setting up time management, but routines are, you know, big, and to set up routines is really forming a habit is what it is.
Right. Setting up a habit. And it messes with you mentally when you're in a hurry to get somewhere and you can't find your keys. It just kind of sets the day off on the wrong foot.
And I'm like that.
Which is what happened to me routinely. Yeah. And it was my own fault. I would put them in my pocket, and I would wear a different jacket, or I would put them in my purse and I couldn't find them, or I would set them down somewhere else. And now I've been really purposeful where I come in and I put them in that bowl, and it took me a while.
Yeah.
And it just is so much smoother, because when I go to leave, they're just right there.
You probably had to do it 66 times before it was routine.
Probably. So maybe more.
So yeah, again, I actually think that's probably pretty accurate. I think you have to do something routinely for 66 days or 66 times or whatever before it starts forming a routine, a habit, and doing it. But anyway, I just thought throwing that in there before we actually start breaking down these seven habits that are mentioned in another book. Like I said, that actually came from the Atomic Habits book. And I agree with it, which is a great book. We can talk about that in a little bit, but I think it's a great book to read. I think both of these are great books if you're wanting to build more habits in your life. Habit one that's mentioned in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People is be proactive. That basically means making things happen rather than waiting for things to happen. Being proactive rather than reactive to everything. That's a big deal, because you're always playing catch up when you're reactive. You're always kind of behind the mark, and it's more of acting in a sense of urgency than planning. And it just changes your outlook on things when you're being proactive versus reactive. So I think it's a great habit to establish. You added some notes to that also in our notes.
One of the enemies for me being proactive is overthinking, overplanning, and perfection. And it doesn't have to be perfect. You just have to start.
You can be proactive without being those things. It might be your personality to be those things, but it might take some practice, but it's just putting it down and working towards it rather than doing your work because of something that happened, you know. And it's not to say there's just going to be some things you are going to be reactive to because things happen, you can definitely structure your life to where you're more proactive than reactive.
The more you structure your life to thinking ahead and trying to be proactive, when those times come where you can't be and you have to be reactive, I believe, at least in my own life, it's made things a little bit less stressful.
Yeah. Let's just put it in a gardening or homesteading scenario. Let's say, you know, you can be proactive about weed control rather than
reactive
about weed control, which means you're doing things to prevent weeds, like, say, densely growing crops, maybe cover crops. I mean, just there's a ton of stuff. We won't go over all the things, but there are things you can do to be proactive about weeds, or you can spend all your time after pulling weeds after they've grown.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just planning, you know, it's everything is about planning, you know, and you can save a lot of time. You can actually change your perspective a lot just by being proactive. So I think it's a good habit to develop for sure. Yeah. And it absolutely has homesteading application for sure on everything. Yeah.
In so many ways.
Yeah. So many ways. The second habit that's mentioned in that book is begin with the end in mind.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And this is have a plan. Now, this is goal setting, I think, mostly. This is knowing what your goal is. Where are you going with this? And I guess we can jump on down. Let's just go ahead and let's go on down to our setting goals section, and we'll come back up. Because for me, goals are divided into a few categories. I see you added another one on there, but I'll explain why I didn't put that one on there, actually.
Yeah.
For me, those categories are spiritual, health, financial, career, learning, family, and social. You added homesteading, homestead goals. But for me, several of these goals in here contain homesteading. Okay. Of course, health, I homestead for better health. Financial, I'm saving money by growing my own food. Right. You know, career, obviously, I would love to, you know, be making more money from being a homesteader, you know, and eventually maybe making that my total career. Learning, a lot of my learning is around homesteading. You know, I'm learning new skills, educating myself on things. It even has family and social aspects on home for homesteading. So that's why I didn't actually separate that as one thing, because homesteading plays a part in most of those things. I would even say spiritual too, even on the homesteading part. It has a spiritual aspect for me. I am a Christian, so I mean, I'm not idolizing or anything my homestead, but it definitely has a spiritual aspect to it. So yeah, those are goals. I divide my goals into those areas every year. And I know some people aren't interested in this at all, but every year I set a goal to read through my Bible every year, you know, so I have a Bible reading schedule. And so I plan that out every year. I think I'm going to have health goals. So I might try to change up my diet. I say, I'm going to lay off sugar a little bit more this year. I'm going to, you know, eat a little differently or whatever. And I try to stick with that through the whole year. Of course, I have financial goals. I might try to up my savings, or I might try to, you know, get more into like cryptocurrency. Right. I mean, I set goals in financial areas that I try to change that up and make that a little bit better every year. Of course, career, you know, I actually changed jobs this last year because I thought, you know, I set a goal. You know, I wanted to, you know, follow my career in a way that would actually fit my life better. So you may make some changes there. I am an avid reader, so I'm always learning, you know, so I have a goal to always be learning, always. And of course, I always want to be drawing near to my family, spending more time with family. Something I'm bad at is social. You know, I want to be more social with people. I want to get out more and spend more time, quality time with friends, you know, and things and doing things with people. So yeah, those are goals for me. I don't know about you. I mean, are these kind of the categories you fall into as well?
Yeah, I would say that it's probably exactly that way. I can't think of anything I would add to it or take away from it. I mean, I
would actually like to
spend a lot of time thinking about it. Yeah. So
I would like to take credit for that, but it's actually a Dave Ramsey layout plan of goals. I've actually got that from him years ago. You know, he kind of lays it out. I mean, it's not something I would say I've always kind of pursued those, but he put it in words and said, here, this is how it is. And so, I mean, I got it from him actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's designing your life the way that you want it. And I think that if you don't set those goals, you're not going to attain the design you like. Now, we may never attain the design we like, but we certainly won't ever if we don't set goals.
Yeah, it brings us to the next point. Yeah. I mean, why should you set goals? I mean, because otherwise you're just kind of shooting at the dark. Oh, I want to do this because other people are doing it, or I want to do it because I think it's, is there an end to this? I mean, is there something you're trying to accomplish, that this goal is helping you accomplish that? You shared a video on Facebook the other day, and it made me, when I was writing this out in the notes, it made me think of that video. And I'll have a link in the show notes to that video, because you should go watch it.
It almost brings a tear to your eye.
It was good. And the video is, I'll kind of try to describe it a little bit, unless you want to. Do you want to?
I can try to describe it.
Yeah, try to describe it.
It's an older gentleman. Obviously, he looks like a grandpa. And all of the neighbors are watching him somehow through, I don't know if they're watching him like he's in the garage or something like that.
It looks like they're judging him, actually.
Yeah, and they're like judging him. And he brings out this kettlebell, and which a kettlebell is basically a weight, if you don't know what that is. He brings out some weights and he's trying to do some motions. And at first, when he starts, he can like barely lift this thing, and it's a lot of work. And people just, like, the neighbors are walking by and they think he's crazy.
And we're talking upper 70s. So this is an old man.
He's definitely an older gentleman. And they're like, what is he doing? But he slowly does this every day. And the video kind of shows you him improving. And then Christmas comes around, and they're at the family Christmas, and this grandpa that had been working out.
And the motion that he does this bell in is the like, motion, what's it? Yeah. The motion's kind of different. It's up and out, up and out. And
he can't figure it out. Like, why is he doing it that way? That looks really uncomfortable. What's the deal? So they're sitting around, or they're, you come to the Christmas time, and they're decorating the tree. And this little girl, which is probably his granddaughter, Pat, is, you know, walks up to him, and he picks her up. And he
gives
her
the gift. He gives her the gift of the star for the tree.
Yeah.
And his whole goal in all this was to be able to pick her up, extend her out, so she could put the star on the tree.
And that was the exact motion he was doing with that kettlebell, was picking up and going out, so he could lift his granddaughter up to put the star on the tree.
Yep. And
it
was
super inspiring.
It was a really good, like I said, I'll have the link in the show notes to it. I found it on YouTube, so you can go check it out. And he had a goal. He had a vision of something he wanted to accomplish.
Right.
And he set a habit of picking up this bell every day and doing this thing till he could reach that goal. And I thought that was so relevant to what we were talking about here.
It is. And because not all of our goals are going to be like for you and I, at least for me, I'm going to speak for myself. For me, my health goal, I mean, I would like to look nice, but for me, it's more like his.
I want to be able
to keep up with my grandkids.
I
want to feel good. I want to be able to participate in life as long as I possibly can. And we know that sitting around on the couch doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And obviously it took him a long time. He didn't just wake up the week before Christmas and decide he was going to do that.
Yeah, he's doing this. He started this summertime. You know, it's warm. He's outside doing it all summer long, and he's out working. So months of this.
And all the neighbors are giving him the stink eye.
Like, why are you doing this? Yeah. And he wanted to be fit enough to accomplish this goal. And I just think that's right. That's exactly what I'm talking about here. You know, have a goal. And I think it's important to write down some goals, write down the things you want to accomplish, and then think, okay, what will it take to accomplish that goal? Do I have to do this every day or this every week or whatever? And to eventually get to that goal, you know, I set a goal for like blogging one time, and I wanted to like 3 blog posts a week and put them on my blog and do that for a whole year. And I did that, you know, and you can set goals like that. And I had an end goal in mind because I wanted to have this much traffic on my site at this time in a year. And you can do that, and you can just set goals and accomplish things. And I do it all the time on the homestead. You know, it's like, I want to grow this much food. What's it going to take to grow this much of this plant and have these many quart jars of this in my pantry at the end of the year? Okay. What's it going to take to do that? Set some habits. Okay. I got to figure out how much land. I got to know how many square feet I need for that. I need to know what I need to plant. I need to know what I got to do to tend to it. I mean, and that's a habit. I mean, you're going to have to tend that garden. You're going to have to do that. I mean, it's something you're going to have to establish. You know, getting up and just doing certain things every day to make a certain thing happen. And write down your goals. What do you want to accomplish 1 year from now? What do you want to accomplish 6 months from now? What do you want to accomplish 5 years from now? You know, and what will it take to do that? Maybe it's going to Maybe you're going to have to put $50 a week in a bank account to be at a certain place in, you know, 5 years, so you can invest in a, you know, in something that you're wanting to purchase for your homestead or even towards a homestead, whatever. You know, think ahead like that and set goals and then develop the habits that'll make that happen.
Yeah. Slow and steady wins the race there.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
yeah. I know for myself, I don't know. For myself lately, I've been struggling with eating some things I shouldn't be eating. And
that's a long list for you.
Yeah. And setting myself up to win. And I had been mentally just trying to force myself to do things. And I was struggling with it. So this week I downloaded an app so that I can actually food track my food so that I could reach my goal. Without that app, I just wasn't doing it. I kept thinking I would do it and kept thinking I would do it. And now with the app, I'm forced to, and I set up reminders on it. I'm forced to keep track of my food intake and what I'm mm-hmm. eating. And for me, it's about health for me. I know some of it can be about weight, which can be for health for people, but for me, it's about health. I've struggled with my blood sugar for years, and I've been eating too many carbs, and it's just not healthy for me. So I had to set myself up to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, some people can use an app for that, and you found a good app that works. Some people love to just write it down in a journal. We put a couple links in the show notes to a couple look like decent journals for keeping mm-hmm. track of habits, keeping track of what your daily accomplishments are, your goals are, you know, and trying to reach those goals. I think it's a great way to do it. I actually, when it comes to something like that, I have to write things down. Now I don't write them down on paper. I actually, here, I'll show you because you can see it. We're on video, but you see this little, I have a whole page on my phone. That's a big long post-it note. And every day I write things down in there for my, like, you know, my goals for the day, goals for the week, goals for the month. And then I have little tasks under each one to accomplish those goals in a note, in a notepad on my phone, because the phone is just more easily accessible than a notepad sometimes, paper and pen sometimes. So, and it's always with me, so it's fine.
It's interesting that you say that, because when it comes to notes, I actually do better if it's a physical note and I can
some people do
for to-do lists. But for some reason with some things, I do better with an app.
Yeah.
And I think you just have to play around with it and figure out what works for you.
You do what's best for you. Whatever will help you accomplish that, you do it. Some people actually want a planner, journal, something they can write every day, the tasks in, and have, like, you know, all their goals. And that's great. If it works for you, do that, because that's what's important. It doesn't matter how you do it. Just figure out what works for you. Try something for a while. Dedicate a little time to it, because, again, it's almost a habit. You have to develop a habit of using one of these tools, you know, like a journal, like an app, like a notepad or whatever. It's a habit that you have to develop, you know, even to get to where you can try to develop habits, right? I mean, it's one you have to work on first, getting used to using something like that. So, yeah, find one that works for you and use it. So that's kind of, you know, that's the habit number two in the seven habits of highly effective people, but it don't end there. He goes on many other things here. Habit three that he talks about: put first things first, which means work first, then play.
Yeah.
Really important, because it's really easy to get wrapped up in the leisure activities and not get your work done. And this is horrible, but my entire life I have been a person, and this is, like I said, I do not recommend this for most people. This is not how most people should function. But I'm a person that works best under the gun. Like when it's urgent, I get things done. But when it's not, I tend to put them off. And that's horrible.
You're a procrastinator?
I am a procrastinator. And never do today what can be put off till tomorrow. I'm horrible. And my youngest daughter, the same way. I remember she was going through college, and like she'd be up till 3 o'clock in the morning writing a paper that was due the next day that she knew about for 3 weeks. You know, it was just, you know, I'm the same way. But I do get things done like that. It's like I figure out exactly how much time I need to get it done. And then I get it done, and I hyper focus on it, and I make it happen. That is not how most people function. So most people do have to put getting the work done first, then leisure. I'm kind of the opposite. I will do the leisure to do the work.
I can be like that. If it's a project I really don't want to do, I will procrastinate and then hammer it out. But I try hard not to, because I realize that that stresses me out.
Yeah. Now, when I actually have a busy day and I have a to-do list, which I do quite often, I do put the things that I don't like the most first. Not even the most important things, the things I don't want to do the most first. Because I get them done. I get them out of the way. And so that's how I kind of do it. In the book, that's not what they suggest. It's put the most important things first and then, you know, put leisure off to the end, of course. Right. I don't do that perfectly. But again, I think you have to do you, you know, and everybody's different. And I know after 50 years on this planet, I kind of know how I function. And that's just how I function. I can't help it. You know, it's just the way I do things.
I feel the same way. Like I don't know if you've heard the term, and I don't think I can explain it because my mind is like, doesn't always have the best memory, but it's eat the frog.
And yeah, I've heard that. I heard the term
eat the frog. I'm not just like you. It can be the most menial task that doesn't really take that much time. But if I don't want to do it,
jump in and do it.
I do better if I just do that first.
Yep.
I do better if I just eat my frogs first.
Yep.
And then go on. And once I do that, I usually can just hammer out my list.
Well, once I'm like a rolling stone, man. You get me rolling, I'm moving, you know, but
yep.
It takes a little bit to, you know, it's like, got to nudge me up off the couch. That's why I think so much of the time I am procrastinating, and then when it's like it's have to time, it forces me to get up and get rolling, and then I'm full blast, you know. I don't stop until all the things are done, all the things. But I generally will knock those things I just hate doing the most out
first. We're all different. One of my kids always did better, like you're saying, you're the rolling stone. Once it gets going, it's going. One of my kids always did better if they did a few things and then had a reward, and then did a few things and had a reward. Yeah. I think you just have to learn.
Figure out who you are.
Works for you.
Yeah.
And learn, if you're homesteading with kids or a spouse, you have to learn what works for them and set the goals appropriately for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it will affect time management. I think we could go into time management here. I think it's probably a good time to talk about that because when you set your priorities of how you're going to do things, it's going to affect your time. We talked about earlier, you know, how I like to set up routines that help me save time. Like if I can't find a tool, I spend more time sometimes looking for tools, but if I'll set up a routine where that tool's always in that place and I always put it back in that place, saves me a ton of time the next time I go to do that. Or when I'm going to feed some animals or whatever, if I know the scoop's here and I know the whatever bucket's there and everything's in its place, it just saves me so much time. And so I have to set up these routines, you know, and it's just a part of my time management. But beyond that, like things like this, like doing a podcast or interviews or whatever. I mean, I have to use a calendar for everything. I use Google Calendar because it's just like I live by it. You know, it's like I set up everything. You could do it on a physical calendar or a digital calendar. I use a digital, but I see people that get the book out and write it in a physical book. My wife's like that. She has to have the book, you know. Yeah, that's my wife. She has to put everything in a book and look at it every day. I'm more like, look at my phone, look at my Google Calendar, you know, have reminders pop up because I'm bad about remembering things. But that's how I kind of do that. I just set up things in a calendar, you know, and I schedule things. And then I have reminders three times before that pop up and remind me to do those things.
Maybe Harold is ADHD.
Yeah, I've got some problems.
I held up, for those of you in the audience, I held up my calendar to Harold when we were talking. Because I have a physical calendar. He can attest because he made a Google calendar for this podcast and I'm not very good about contributing to it.
That's fine. That's fine.
I am so, for some reason, I do really well with a paper calendar. It's how my brain works. Some
people do that.
So
that's great.
I have a paper calendar. The other reason I don't use, and it's going to sound horrible, but one of the reasons I also don't use the a calendar on my phone is I'm a people pleaser and I will always say yes. But
we'll
if I don't have a calendar, I can say, let me check my calendar.
Yeah. So, the reason I like a digital calendar more than a physical calendar, as I like writing things down, but my physical calendar won't yell at me and tell me, hey, dummy, look right, at this, yeah. Where my digital calendar will.
Yeah. Some people need that reminder.
Yeah. It'll yell at me and say, Hey, you need to look at your calendar, you know, but yeah, like I said, I won't remember to go look at the calendar to see what I have going on, you know? So yeah, if you got a good habit of going and opening up that maybe once or twice a day and seeing what's on the schedule, yeah, it'll work great for you. I don't do well with that. So I like to prioritize my daily tasks the night before. Do you do that? I write out a list, and I'll even set things up. Like if I know I got to work on the computer, I'll go ahead and set the computer up and I'll get a page opened up that I got to work on. I might set some stuff in a notepad beside it, have it all ready. Then I'll go to bed. And then when I wake up, I grab a cup of coffee and I go straight at it, you know, and I do that with things. And I always have a list of what I'm going to do first, second, third. And I make that the night before. Same. Every night I do that. And I've done that for years. It's how I get things done. There'll be things that'll pop in and disrupt that sometimes, and you just deal with it. But you know, I need that. I feel like I need that every day.
I do so much better if I do that because, especially if I sit down and think about it, because for example, when you're in the kitchen and you're making a mess, it makes sense to just completely make the mess and then clean it up. So I always put those tasks together, or, you know, I just do that. Even with my errands, I plan it out. So I make a big loop instead of going back and forth and back and forth places. And
Now you mentioned a minute ago that you're a people pleaser. That's why you use a paper calendar. Yeah. So you hate to say no to things, and you find yourself saying yes. But I think if something doesn't excite you to say yes, you have to consider saying no. Like, I think there's some things that are hard yes. Like, yes, I need to do this. And sometimes I'm tempted to say no to things, but I need to say yes to them because they're a great opportunity. But then I also know it's going to be a lot of work, but you know, and I might say no, but I've tried to say yes to good opportunities more than I used to. Used to, I would just say, I can't do that. I can't do that. And now I say yes a lot more than I say no. But I still think there are some things you just have to say no to. And you have to examine that. You have to consider no a lot. You know, you have to say it. And it will save you time because how have I heard it put? I think even maybe, I don't know if Stephen Covey that says it in his book, one of them says it in one of these books I'm talking about. They say, so you can make it efficient and prioritize it and make it efficient, but that will still cost you more time than saying no to something you shouldn't be doing. So just say no. If it's something you really don't feel like you should be doing, just say no. Now, sometimes you might feel like that makes you a bad person. You know, like I'm not helping, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. You said no to me last week. We were going to record a Patreon episode.
I did.
I can't make it.
I felt guilty.
I knew you did. I knew you did. But I also know you have a lot going on and you don't need to feel bad about that because you know what? That's great. That's fine. You say no, because there's just sometimes you have to say no to things because there's an aspect of self-care. There's priorities in your own life. There's a lot of reasons you need to say no. And I know you enough to know that if you said no, that you had to say no, you know, and you shouldn't always just have to say no. Sometimes you should say no just because you want to say no, you know, and that's fine too. And, I think that's great. I have said no to several things. You know, I'm notorious about overextending myself. Same. And I have tried the last couple of years to not do that. And I've tried to just, you know, not say yes to every little, and I love to help people. I love to do things, but sometimes what I found though, is instead of saying no, I'm like, well, can I do this instead?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And maybe something that I feel like I can do that's not going to put as many time constraints on me, and I give an option. Well, I can't do that, but could I do this for you? And it's a way of saying yes, but differently, you know,
right.
That might fit your schedule, fit your life better. So I find that you might have to do that. You know, again, this will save you time. It's part of time management. Now, if you want to, you can go back and look at a whole episode I did one time, and I put a link to it in the show notes about how to homestead when you don't have time to homestead. And I talk about automating, and I talk about prioritizing. I talk about a whole bunch of time management things in there for homesteading, about how to homestead when you don't have time to homestead. Because when I did that episode, I was working 70 plus hours a week, and I was homesteading a lot. I mean, I was doing a lot of stuff on this homestead and making time for family and, you know, grandkids and all the things. And like I said, working a 70 plus hour a week job. I don't work a 70 hour a week job now. I work 40 hours a week, but I still have to, you know, prioritize a lot. But even then it was more so. So I was doing a lot of things that some people say, I don't have time for that, which brings me to the next thing. And this is something Rachel disagrees with me on, which I love. Yeah, we get some controversy here. There's a statement I love, and it's, if it's important to you, you'll find the time. If it's not, you'll find an excuse. Rachel tells me she kind of hates that saying.
I do.
Why do you hate that saying,
Rachel? I don't
know
if I can articulate why I hate it, but one of the reasons I hate it is, going back to what we just talked about, is sometimes you need to say no. And this saying is often used to guilt somebody into doing something. And that bothers me because, yes, it's something can be really important to you, but sometimes you still have to say no. For example, for health reasons, for you just can't do it all. You cannot fit it all in. And I've seen people use this saying to guilt people or guilt themselves into unhealthy commitments.
You're looking at it. I see why you say that, because you're looking at it more from the micro level, where I'm looking at it for the macro level. I'm talking about big life things. Like, I want to be a homesteader, but I don't have time to be a homesteader.
Right. Yeah.
I want to accomplish this thing that's just going to be a life changer for me, but I don't have time to do that. Then it's not important to you. It's not it's not the most important thing to you, obviously, because you're saying I can't make the time to do that. And the reason I think it's an applicable statement for most people, and I'm going to say, I think it could be abused. You're right. I think it could be used in the wrong way. I think it can mean the wrong thing to the wrong person. But the reason I think it applies to most people is because the same people that will tell you they don't have time for this thing that could be a major impact on their life, the most people that say that will spend 25 hours a week watching TV.
Right.
But they say, I don't have the time to do this thing that might cost them 10 hours a week.
Yeah. And I get what you're saying there. I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, there's time. Certain people will always find excuses to not do things and then complain about it.
Yeah. It depends on how you use the statement. It's a true statement, or it can be, it can be used in a bad way.
Well, I've had this statement used against me, honestly, when somebody is upset with me for using my no.
I've used it on myself many times.
Yeah.
If this was important to you, you'd find the time to do it. And you know what, if it is important to me, because I went through that, you know, it's like, oh, I want to do this. And then I smacked myself in the face and go, no. If it's important, you're going to do this. You know, I'm not really that hard on myself, but I do think like that about things, you know. It's like, okay, what can I cut out of my life that I say don't need to be there, but yet I keep it there in lieu of this thing that I think would be an important change in my life. And I try to cut down on the TV watching, or just leisure time on Facebook, or, you know, I mean, I know people that spend 5 hours a day on Facebook, you know?
Yeah.
I've often thought, man, I wish I had back in my life every hour I've wasted watching senseless TV, just nonsense on TV.
Yeah.
I'm not against I love a good movie. You know, I enjoy a good movie or a good documentary even, I spend a lot of time watching YouTube. Generally, that's more educational, but not always. Right. I mean, I went down the cat video path a time or two in my life. You know, I'm not going to deny it. But I'm just saying, you know, there's to have back every hour I've wasted watching stupid stuff on TV that didn't change my life for the better in any way. What could I mean? I do a lot of reading of the people from the past. And I think, wow, how did they get so much done? And I go, oh, because they didn't have a TV in their living room.
No, that's TV, probably no part cell of it. Phone, no Facebook. Right.
They didn't have a lot of the things that pull us away from meaning, from these tasks that really mean something. You know, they were able to write books and, you know, to accomplish a lot of work because they weren't wasting a lot of time doing things that didn't matter, you know, and we have become a, you know, not everybody, but, you know, most people, I think we've become a people who prioritize leisure.
Yeah, I've said the same thing to myself. I don't say it this thing to myself, but what I'll say to myself is, I don't have time for it. And then I'll catch myself and say, oh, but you do. Yeah. You just need to have your priorities a little bit better than they are right now. And I, you know, I'll remind myself, but you spent this, you wasted time here, which would provide time to do this here.
Absolutely. So, yeah. We could all do, I think 99.9% of us out there could do better with our time management and knocking out some things that aren't making our life better in any way, shape, or form to make way for some things that actually will do that, you know, make a better life for us or those around us. And I think we could all do that. I know I can do it better. I know there's things I can do, you know, there's things I can cut out. There's things I can prioritize that will make my life better, period. Yeah, for sure.
And some of that, you know, and even in the lives, like we were talking about a little bit earlier, even when, if say you don't watch TV, say you really are better organized than Harold and I seem to be.
On some things for sure.
If we, you can find time by my example, making sure my keys go into my bowl when I come in the door. That right there probably saved me a half hour a week.
And a lot of aggravation too, because when you're scrambling for something like that,
you can find time in little pieces that add up into bigger pieces just by like being organized, having your kitchen organized, having your greenhouse organized, whatever. And that's one of the things that is my personal goal this winter is to have things organized in a better way so that when spring and summer comes, which is my crazy busy season for work and for my homesteads, that it goes a lot smoother.
Just a few episodes ago, we did a whole episode on that about, you know, organizing our homestead. And
that right there buys you time. It's little pieces of time here and there. And an extra half hour a day for me, that's like half hour a day takes me to make my sourdough bread.
But you have to set up those habits of putting those things back in those places. Yeah. And again, routine, just make it a routine. And then maybe 66 times later, you'll just automatically do that and put it there.
Right. Maybe.
Well, it takes us to habit 4. And this one, you know, you might not think this is a habit, but it's think win-win. Okay. This is a thinking habit. Think win-win. Everybody can win. Because a lot of times when we think if we're winning, there must be a loser. Or if I'm losing, there must be a winner or whatever. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can actually think win-win. You can do things in a win-win mentality. Like I set things up to do things so that all parties involved win. I just got invited to participate in a homestead bundle thing where, you know, I create a digital product, you know, I benefit from that. The people doing the bundle benefit from that. It's a win-win. It's a win-win that I can say yes to. I said, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a yes thing because we all win in that, you know, I'll get email subscribers, maybe a little money. They get money and they'll get the email subscribers. It benefits all the parties involved. Everybody's winning on something like that. Okay. And the people who actually buy the bundle or participate in the bundle, they get the education, they get the information, they win. All parties are winning. It's a good deal. You can set a lot of things up like that in your life. You know, that everything is win-win. I just think a lot of people have that mentality that for somebody to be, it's, what do they call that? It's a scarcity mentality, right? Oh, that there's only so much available. So if somebody's winning, somebody's losing. But that isn't necessarily the case. It doesn't have to be that way. There doesn't have to be winners and losers in the things you're doing. It could be winning, win, you know, win-win on everything. You can do that.
The rising tide raises all ships.
Raises all ships. Exactly. Yeah. So I think it's an important one, but I think that when I say this is a habit to develop, it's a mental habit. It's just, if you catch yourself thinking negative about these things, you flip it around and say, no, win-win. We're going to make this a win-win situation for all people.
That mental battle, I think, is sometimes one of the hardest one.
Yes. Mental habits are the hardest to develop, I think, too. Yeah. But this is a mindset change. This is something you got to think differently about. And I'll admit it's one that I've struggled with before. I mean, it's easy to think that if I'm gaining, somebody else is losing. We have a Patreon thing we have set up for this podcast, right? So it would be easy to think, okay, someone's giving us $5 a month to be a Patreon member. They're losing, we're winning. It's not like that. You got to think win-win. They get something, we get something. They get some perks for being a member. We get, you know, money to help create this podcast. It's a win-win. You try to create things that are, and try to even mentally think of them as a win-win and not think of win-lose, you know? So just, I don't know. It's a mentality thing. It's just something that it's harder to always be. So sometimes when even people hear something like that, they think, oh, you're winning, I'm losing. So that's something you should probably work on. If that was the first thing that popped into your mind, that when somebody's winning, you're losing. You really probably want to try to change that mindset, because it has an effect on a lot of your life when you have that kind of a mindset.
Sure does. It sure does. Yeah.
So you got to just think differently about those things, you know? And I think it's healthier to think that way. And it'll just bring you more joy to know that I don't have to be losing for you to win, you know, or they don't have to be losing for me to win. It'll bring more joy into your life to think that we can all kind of rise up together in this. So
yeah,
I think it's a good habit to try to work on. Habit number five, seek first to understand, then to be understood. And this basically just means listen before you talk. And I think my grandma always used to say it, you know, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason.
That's a great saying.
Yeah. So
I'll be honest, it's something I struggle with, because I'll lose my thought, and I'm afraid I'm going to lose my thought.
Her other saying was, you're an alligator. You ain't got no ears in your own mouth.
That's fantastic.
I had a couple of them from her, but so it is a skill. It's a habit to develop to listen to people. It's different from hearing. Hearing and listening are two different things. And I like how I remember from the book, Stephen Covey talks about how most people listen to people, but they're only listening so they can figure out what they're going to say next. Yeah. So they're already planning on talking while you're talking, and not really listening, and then construct their words based on what you said, then say it.
Yeah.
Will people think less of me if I say I do this, so that I'm bad about this?
I was just raising my hand so you could see me say I actually really struggle with this.
Yeah,
because
me too.
I don't know if it's the ADHD or whatever, but my thoughts will be fleeting and I will forget what I was going to say. And it may have been a valid point, but I have been working really hard on listening and not thinking while they're listening, just actually actively listening to people. I really actually struggle with it. I don't know why, but I do.
Me too.
And I'm working on it.
And the fact that we're both working on it probably has something to do with that we've been accused of talking over each other a lot on this podcast. And I think it's because we both do that. We both probably are thinking about what we're going to say, but it's a podcast. To take a little bit of the guilt off myself, dead air doesn't sell. You have to be talking constantly. Right. And I don't want to have to edit out a bunch of dead air. So we do have to be thinking about what we're going to say next while someone's talking. So we don't have to. But now in everyday conversation, though, that can be a little different. You know, you can actually think and listen to somebody, and for a podcast, it doesn't work quite as well. But just so folks know, a lot of people have mentioned that we talk over each other a lot. We are trying to do a little bit better. You just talked over me. I can't believe you just did that.
I know. We also have to remember people. What I want people to understand is, you know, sometimes you have podcast personalities or online personalities that really, it's solely a working relationship. We actually do have a friendship, and we enjoy talking to each other. We have a lot in common. So we just get excited and just ramble on.
We do. We talk. Just so folks know, we talked an hour and a half today before we started the podcast. So, I mean, right. we're having conversation, you know, yeah. And that's just what we do. I mean, we're having a casual conversation and you get to listen in. And sometimes that means we interrupt each other. Sometimes that means we talk over each other. We try not to do that too much, but there were a few episodes where it was happening yeah. pretty bad. And we've since tried to do a little bit better. I hope people are noticing that we're doing a little bit better, but we'll still do it on every episode a little bit. And it's just what we're going to, you know, it's us, you know, and I hope you'll tolerate it for the,
yeah,
you know, yeah. If you enjoy the podcast and tolerate some of that, it's the best we can do.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, we do have video. I'm kind of starting to raise my hand a little bit. I'm trying to, like, if I have something to say so I don't forget it, I will write it down and wait for Harold to finish. We're working on it.
I'm worse about it than you are, Rachel.
I don't know about that.
But in my defense, too, I did this podcast a long time by myself without a co-host. So it's been quite an adjustment for me.
That is hard. And that is why I have not done my first podcast solo, because I've tried. I have a couple of them actually outlined, and I have tried a few times to start, and it is hard to keep that yeah. conversation going when it's just you. And so people understand it's actually harder than it
where seems. I'm used to doing it. So it's like yeah. hard for me to stop talking sometimes to let you talk.
Right. Yeah. And anyway. I have like this very small voice. Like Harold is out constantly asking me to put the microphone, like, basically right on top of my mouth. Cause I do have a very small voice, and,
yep.
You know, so half the time he might not even be hearing me, and I'm over.
Yeah, that's happened before. Yeah, that's happened before. Like, I don't even realize you're talking unless I look at the video and then I see your mouth moving.
Yeah, yeah. So I have this really soft voice, and if anybody ever meets me in person, they will hear that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think just in life, though, it's good to listen to people. It's good to mm-hmm. not just be a person who just always wants to be the person with the answers, but never really want to listen to the real problem. Because what ends up happening is, like, let's just for an example, I was a cancer patient and I know what I did to fix my problem. Now, if I just assume that every person out there that's got cancer needs to do what I do, I might be really firm about just saying it like that. I don't do that. I'm very, very careful about doing that, because you're going to have to do what you feel right is right for you in your situation. And I don't tell people, you know, you want to fix your cancer, you need to go grow your own food, you need to go on a keto diet, you need to do this, you need to do that. Just like I did, it'll fix you up. I don't know your situation. Right. You can tell me your situation. I might have some words of wisdom for you. I might not. Half the time I just go, you know what? Listen to your doctor. If that makes you feel comfortable, do what they say. If that makes you feel comfortable, here's what I did. I don't know if it'll work for you. Exactly. My situation was different, you know, where I've just met a lot of people who are just hardcore, do this, it'll fix mm-hmm. this on anything, because that's the way I did it. Everybody's situation is different. Everybody's different. Yeah. And the only way you're going to know that is to listen to them and not just mm-hmm. shout out the answers, you know, what you think the answers are.
I mean, and when it comes to homesteading here, we're talking about what we're doing and what's working for us. Mm-hmm. But we're both living in the Midwest. Right now, we have winter. We might have people listening to this that live in the desert. And the way yeah. they do things are going to be very different.
In a lot of ways, we got better soil than a lot of the places,
right?
You know, that are people yeah. are listening to us in their places.
We get yeah. rain that falls from the sky.
Yeah, it's amazing. and you know what? I mean, that's why we have people on, too, to talk about their homesteads.
Exactly.
And what they're yeah. doing, because it's different than us and it might work better for you than the way we're doing it. So we understand that. I think I've tried to understand that from the beginning. I've tried to have a kind of this mixture of people on talking about how they're homesteading, because they're not mm-hmm. doing it like I'm doing it, you know, and that's great. And it's not good. Boy, I'm doing it. It's definitely not going to work for everybody. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. We do some things different. So, yeah, you know,
for sure. For sure. Yep. So that's what we'll say about that. Habit number 6, synergize. Together is better. We've been big on that. We've talked a lot about community. And we do think together is better. I mean, we think that working in a community, working with other people, you know, I don't want to rehash it all, but
yeah.
it's a habit, right? It's a habit to develop that.
And if you say, I mean, we talked about time a minute ago, and if time is short, you can even do some of that synergizing online. I mean, we don't ever meet in person.
Right.
But here we are creating that online. So, we have that in our Homestead Front Porch group.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't necessarily has to be something that you physically remove yourself from your homestead and take time to do. You can find some of that synergy online and like-minded people sometimes. I mean, that we always have to be exactly like-minded, but if you find other homesteaders, it can be encouraging, especially if you're living in, say, an urban or suburban setting and nobody around you is doing it. It's nice to find somebody.
And I actually think it's a really good thing to find people who aren't like-minded and have conversation with them and make them part of your synergy, because you know what? You're never going to grow or change or find something better if you're only hanging out with people and talking to people who do it exactly like you. There may be a better way that you're never going to discover because you never stepped out of your realm. You know,
that's very true.
Yep. I've been around people like that. I mean, I've expanded my thinking on a lot of things because I was listening to a podcaster who I may not even agreed with, but I liked their show. You know, I liked the way they talked about things. And I started listening to him. And then after some time, I'm like, wow, that does sound like a better way to do it. And I actually found myself agreeing with them later going, wow, this is better, you know, and now I've changed that a little bit. I mean, I do try to listen to podcasts and read blogs and even read books on things that, or even hang out with some people who aren't like me, because I get opened up to some new perspectives on some things sometimes, you know, and learn some new things. And I figure out like, well, maybe I was just wrong, you know, and I've discovered that many times in my life.
Right. Or maybe nobody's wrong and it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just different. You know, we're just different.
It's just different. Yeah, and that's okay.
It's okay to be you. That's right. So it's a simple one, but it's a habit, you know, it's a habit to find yourself leaning on other people or being there for other people and I was getting ready to say take advantage of other people. I didn't mean that. I mean, take advantage of people. You don't want to take advantage of people, but you want to take what they have to offer is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
And just use that in your life, you know, and have a synergy with things, you know, permaculture, nature works that way. Everything's working together in a synergy, the trees and the soil and the sky and everything's just functioning together, you know, and people are just like, we're part of nature, you know, and we can function together and we can work together and the sum is greater than the whole. In other words, 2 plus 2 may not equal 4. 2 plus 2 may equal 10 in a synergistic way. I mean, you're accomplishing so much more than just the 2 plus 2. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know if that makes sense to everybody, but sometimes a community can accomplish, you know, 5 people working in a community can accomplish way more than 5 people working individually.
Oh, yeah. It's exponential.
It is. It is. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Actually put out an intelligent word. So there you go.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I've had enough coffee to think clearly this morning.
I definitely have not. Habit number 7, sharpen the saw. This is how Stephen Covey puts it. Sharpen the saw. It's balance. It's what you put now perfect. You're focusing on the perfection at this time.
Once you've worked your way through those, there's a time to be learning and just starting and not worry about perfection. And then there's a time to perfect the skill.
Yeah. And there's a time when it's just great to bring some balance into your life, perfect the things that you're wanting to focus on the most. I mean, it's a habit too, to spend time sharpening the saw or sharpening the axe. It's a habit to spend the time learning the skills that you want to develop. It's, You know, I have one daughter who got into crocheting, you know, and she started out, she looked like she was just tying knots and shoestrings, you know, it just looked horrible, you know, and she kept at it day after day. And she had a goal. Again, she set a goal. She wanted to make a set of mittens for Christmas.
Aw.
This is like April. She started doing this and she kept at it until she learned it. And then she was able to do that by Christmas and make mittens for people. And she just kept at it day after day after day. And she taught herself watching YouTube videos and just getting the tools out and doing it until she perfected it and learned how to do it. I just thought that was great. You know, I thought that's a perfect example. Yeah. I thought it was great. And you can find a skill that you want to develop and work at it and just keep at it and keep at it until you sharpen the saw, till you get it the way you want it to be. And balance feels great. You know, when you get to a point where you've got it, it feels good. It feels really good.
Yeah.
And it's a good habit to, the habit is staying at the thing you want to get better at. That's the habit you're trying to develop.
Yep.
I think
and scheduling that time to do it and then you're sharpening.
This is the homesteading application I'm putting into it. I think if you read the book, Stephen Covey comes at it from a little bit different angle. The chapter is a little bit different than why I'm describing it.
Right.
But I think this application works really good in homesteading. So, and skill building and things like that. So that's where we're going to take it.
it works.
But I think skill building is huge. I think next week we're going to have an old episode on developing some skills for beginner homesteaders. We're going to talk a little bit about that on next week's episode. Yeah. But I think making a plan to learn new skills is super important.
It's huge. This last year, my goal in 2022 was, I focused a lot on butchering. It sounds like a weird skill to have,
but I felt like
it was really important. And so I took three classes and helped four or five different times, different people. And it really honed my skill, but I had to take time out to schedule it, to, you know, I did all these things. And that was my focus this year, was that. And I think going into 2023, we can all make different focuses for skills. I mean, and for somebody, it might be crochet, because I believe crochet is a homestead skill.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody, it might be making bread. For somebody else, it might just be eating healthier and learning better choices for what you put on your plate and what you put on your family's plate. I mean, the sky's the limit with those skills to acquire.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, we're going to next week's episode, I think we're going to start out with the basic stuff, because we're going to talk about skills that you can do as the beginner homesteader, right where you're at, no matter where you're at. We're going to get into that. But, you know, we're going to talk about, like, you know, 12 skills, but I think 12 is a good number for anybody. If you're further along in your homesteading, pick 12 skills and focus on one per month. And you'd be amazed at how good you can get at something if you just really focus on it for a month, you know, and by the end of the year, you're going to know 12 things that you didn't know before pretty well, you know, or you're going to be an expert at them. No, you're not, but you may pick one or two of those to become an expert in, you know, and say, I really enjoyed that. And I want to go down a path where I become, I want to really sharpen the saw, so to speak, again, on those two things, one thing, and make that a big part of my life, and maybe even make a career out of it or something. Who knows where that'll take you? But yeah, I mean, skill building is huge, and habits, setting goals leads to developing habits that can lead to building skills.
Mm-hmm.
Having big skills, who knows where that can take you? That can take you on a whole career change, a whole life change.
I know several people that have made careers out of skills that they learned and perfected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to do that with some things in my life, you know? So yeah, for sure. We mentioned a few things in the podcast today, some articles I put in here, and Rachel as well. I'd mentioned earlier the 66 days thing and build up a habit. The guy who wrote Atomic Habits, James Clear, actually has a blog, and he actually shares some of the information backed by science. How long does it actually take to form a new habit? There's an article on that. You can go read that if you find that interesting, about how long it takes to develop a habit. I wrote an article and done a podcast on how to homestead when you don't have time to homestead. So you can go check out that. I have a link to that in the show notes as well.
Mm-hmm. I added using a bullet journal to make goals. I know it does take time to make a bullet journal, but some people enjoy that little bit of artistry and being artistic and using their hands. I mm-hmm. kind of do.
Yeah.
And so I linked to Pinterest because there's just a ton of resources out there for making a bullet journal. But the Pinterest page I linked to is specifically about making goals. And so okay. there's a bunch of different examples that you can use to make your bullet journal and acquire some skills and goals.
Yeah. And you can buy a bullet journal. You mentioned that down yes. the products. So you can actually buy one. I put in there a weekly planner with a habit tracker.
I don't use one,
but I was looking at it online. I thought it looked really, really cool. And there's some people, like we said, that's what they want. They want a journal. Right. Maybe they want to buy one that's already set up. They only get to start filling it in. Yep. A couple planners, journals you can look at there. Check out. I think they're a good idea for some people for sure.
You can even use if you don't want to do any of that, you can just use a pad of paper.
Yep. Yep. Get out the old legal pad or a notebook just turn it into it. I used to do that.
For your phone.
I used to do Bible journaling like that. Like I journaled. There was one year particularly I said, I'm going to journal my way through all my Bible reading. So every day I would read my daily reading and then I would just share my thoughts in a journal. And I filled up and I did that on notepads. I just used notepads or the spiral notebooks, just the cheap ones. And I had a few of those. I filled a few of those up over the year of and I would just take like 15 or 20 minutes and just journal my thoughts after my daily Bible reading. And I filled several of these. I mean, they're probably back here on my bookshelf somewhere that I filled up. And, my kids will probably find those when I'm long gone and it might mean something to them. I don't know. Or they might toss them in the trash. I don't really know. But, it's just it's something that some people enjoy journaling, writing it in a notebook is fine if that's what you got and that's what you want to do. Some books that mention, again, Atomic Habits. I have a link to that in the show notes, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I would say half the people in the world's probably read that book. I don't know, but it's been around a long time, but it's still a very relevant book. It's a good read. And I feel like it's accurate. I think the things in there can really help you.
It is. Yeah. Our library has it on auto, like you can get it in audio version.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool too.
And then you added a book in here as well.
I added Skip, which I think I've added before. It's Paul Wheaton's Skills to Inherit Property, and the inherit property part's a little bit misleading, but it just goes through. It has like this huge list of skills to acquire that you might not think of. I know for myself, 2023, one of the things I want to work on is getting better at sharpening knives and learning how to. Sharpening tools like you had placed a few weeks ago.
Yeah, like the pruners and
the pruner sharpener. Yeah, that's something. I mean, I'll be honest, I rely on my husband for. I just hand it to him and say, "Can you sharpen this for me?"
Yeah.
And so I would like to learn to do that myself. Well, I would sometimes say he's not around.
Yeah, when it comes to like sharpening tools and stuff, I'm pretty good. But when knives, I would like to get better at sharpening knives. Like I see these people that sharpen knives so good, you couldn't possibly run your thumb down it, or you cut yourself wide open.
Have you seen the videos? Because I know you watch them. On off. Oh, why am I not thinking of his name? He's the Palmer Culture guy is it Vermont? Ben Falk. Have you seen his video where he sharpens his knife and then shaves his arm you're shaving with a razor on your face?
Yeah, I like seeing.
To be able to sharpen a knife like that.
Yeah, I have gotten knives that sharp before, but I've had to work on them way harder, I think, than what some people
he did it so fast.
Some people do it really fast and they keep knives sharp like that. And I don't. And I would like to get better at that myself. I think that would be a good skill to have.
Yeah. And one of the things I learned butchering this year, and I've butchered a lot of things. And one of the things I learned was a sharp knife is a safe knife.
Yes, it is.
So that's why it's on my skill list it's something I want to learn how to do. Yep. But Skip has like this long list in there. And one of the things it talks about is using, stones and stuff to sharpen things. And there's just a lot. It's basically a really long list of things.
It's a whole thing, isn't it? Sharpening knives, the whole thing. I mean, with tools and how to do it and proper motions and all the things. And
the angle.
It's definitely a skill. Yeah, it's definitely a skill to develop for sure. So, well, there's some books you can check out, some products, some articles for some further study on the topic. But hopefully it's been helpful and hopefully it'll just get you thinking about, as the new year rings in, what kind of changes are you going to make in your life? I think nobody's living I don't think anybody's living their life perfectly and they think there's nothing they can change. We all have little things maybe we want to change or get better at or just whatever, maybe a new skills to develop or whatever. But hopefully it gets you thinking about that. You know, I don't like to use the word New Year's resolution so much as I just think about habits, you know, and doing better. You know, I just try to do a little bit better every year. And I don't try to set any goals so big that they can't be achieved, but I do set lofty goals sometimes, you know. I mean, sometimes they're, you know, they're, I notice that I'm having to work to achieve them. Let's put it that way. And they're not just, you know, fly by night, you know, things, because I think they need to be somewhat lofty for you to put any effort into them. But make sure they're achievable, you know. And when you set a goal, the way you can really figure out if that's achievable or not is to think, okay, what are the habits I would have to develop and what kind of time and consistency would I have to put into that to accomplish that goal? And then break it down into a daily or weekly thing. And then you're like, oh, is that even doable? You know? So, and then try to make it happen. Lift that kettlebell every day till you can stretch your granddaughter out. You go watch that video. It's going to be in the show notes. Go watch it because it's inspiring. It will really make you think about end goals, you know, and what you have to do to accomplish that goal. And I thought, wow, what a timely video for what we were talking about today. So, go watch that. Yeah. Go watch that. Or just follow Rachel. She'll probably share it on her Facebook.
I did share it on my Facebook.
There you go. So,
I should put it over on my Rewilder.
You should. Like, you should move it over there in case some people just want to go to your Facebook and watch it because it's there too. But the YouTube version of it is in the show notes if you want to go watch it there. So, well, folks, we're glad you joined us today. And until the next episode, happy homesteading and God bless.
And grow where you're planted.
Looking around, I finally see, I think I need a change. The rat race, I wanna flee, my world I'll rearrange. I'm getting back to the roots of how it's meant to be. Growing gardens, picking fruit, raising livestock, living free. It's a modern homestead. We do here every day, snapping beans like grandma did, sitting on her front porch, hunting and fishing like a kid, once you've done all of your chores.